Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends, plus breaking business news every day. This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong.
Charles, Michael, and Thomas with you today as we kick off the 11 o'clock hour of the Financial Exchange. And as we glance through markets, we've got a little bit of a continued downer today. It's just been, you know, it's interesting. September, no fun. October, very fun.
Yeah.
November, meh, it's fine. It's okay, but it's not giving me any, you know, real excitement either way.
Okay.
We got the Dow off 173 points. We got the S&P off 6. NASDAQ is off 31. Russell's down about 19 right now. 10-year Treasury, a little bit of money flowing in that direction, back down below 1.6% to 1.58. Oil is continuing its recent sell-off down to 78.23, so maybe a little bit of relief at the pump, but I don't know, you know, if there's a ton of movement to go that much lower here. And gold right now is down $9 an ounce to $1,860, and crypto is crypto. Anything catching your eye when we look at markets today, Mike?
No.
Just kind of a mess day. It's fine. These happen.
And there's not a whole lot of compelling reason for things to be selling off. You know, we've still been getting a few earnings reports in here and there, but they haven't been overly bad. I think just hitting the pause button on a market that has probably exceeded most investors' expectations through November.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm not sure how to pronounce this word. I haven't seen it before. Inflation?
Ah, yeah, yeah. The good old I word that has been rearing its ugly head this day.
Inflation.
This year. So,
Inflation. Inflation. That's it.
Pretty sick of talking about inflation. We've been talking about it a lot. We all know where, well, maybe not. I think it's fair to say that a lot of people's worst fears come up when you start talking about inflation because we haven't really seen any of it in 50 years. And now we're dealing with it for the first time in a long time, and everyone's trying to make their name on a prediction as to whether it's going to stick around or fade away.
And before we dig into where we are, let's first talk about where we aren't. Okay. Because there are two terms that get tossed around an awful lot where, you know, someone's looking for clicks online and someone wants to show, oh, like, I'm a cool economist, which if you're saying you're an economist by default, you're not cool. Again, I say this lovingly. I'm a member of the club.
Wow.
I'm not cool. I wouldn't hang out with me. But two things that we aren't seeing right now. The first is what we call stagflation. Okay, it's a combination. It's a compound word that combines stagnation and inflation. In order to have stagflation, you have to have two things. Number one, you have to have high inflation. Got it.
Check.
Number two, you have to have an economy that's not growing at all. Don't have that. The big
or
problem,
at least not growing much.
No, it's not growing at all.
Yeah.
It's not growing. Okay. That's not the case right now. The issue that we have is that consumer spending is so elevated that there's so much money from the last couple of years chasing so few goods that you end up in a situation where because of, and again, we said at the outset, this was a possibility, because of all the money printing we've done the last couple of years, you have a case where there's more dollars chasing fewer goods, and that's driving costs up and stressing supply chains right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem, but it's a better problem than the one we had back in 2009, 2010, which was everyone got laid off and no one has any money.
Yes.
I would rather have this problem than no one has any money and we've all been kicked out of our house.
Or the problems in the 1970s or you know the problems after a lot of the recessions that we've experienced in the United States. I will take these ones any day of the week. They're going to be, I mean, I would love an economy that's growing without inflation.
Yep.
Like that would be a lot better. And I'm not saying that I fully support every bit of stimulus that was gone that has been paid over the last couple of years. But if I had to choose 08 recession and the aftermath for the next 5 years, or 2020 recession and the aftermath so far, I'll take this one.
The other thing that we're not seeing right now is hyperinflation. In fact, we're not seeing anything close to hyperinflation.
Let's define hyperinflation.
Do you know what the technical definition of hyperinflation is by the person who coined it?
No.
50% inflation in a month.
Okay. So what are we seeing? Like one?
So that would mean that the price of gas would have to go from $3.50 this month to $5.25 next month, and that by January, we'd be seeing gas prices here in New England at $7.75 a gallon.
Yeah. And that would be...
That would be hyperinflation.
Across the board, not just gas prices. You'd
Correct.
Be seeing that everywhere.
You'd be seeing a gallon of milk in January would be, you know, $8. You'd be seeing, if you wanted to buy a single chicken breast, it would be $14. I mean, these are the kinds of things that you'd be seeing in hyperinflation. So we're not seeing that. What we are seeing is real inflation that is weighing on families. And there's a great chart that I pulled from earlier today that was not my own creation. It's from an economist by the name of Noah Smith. He's on Twitter under the Twitter handle No Opinion. And what it shows is that even though wages have increased meaningfully over the last year and a half, because inflation has been rising at a higher rate than we've seen previously, you're actually seeing purchasing power on average declining for the average American worker. And so anyone who gets out there and says, gee, there's no inflation or inflation isn't a problem. No, inflation is a problem for households. Okay. It's a problem for households trying to keep up with their bills and with their expenses. And it fundamentally, again, comes back to the fact that households do have a lot of money, but because of how disrupted supply chains were and because of different spending habits, you've got more money chasing after a smaller subset of goods. And as such, we're seeing inflation that's hurting households' ability to feel comfortable even in a job market that's really good.
Yeah. That's all fair.
So this all leads us to the question that's posed in here. Okay. Getting inflation right is a make or break moment on Wall Street. And specifically, when we talk about investing in an inflationary environment, not a hyperinflation, not a stagflationary environment, it's something that you have two generations of traders now going back to the late 1970s that have not had to deal with this.
True.
It's an entirely new variable that has to be factored in here. And it used to be, just as an example, hey, previously there was a really strong correlation between the job market and how consumers and how households felt about the economy. That's broken this year because of inflation. So do consumer sentiment statistics still mean what they used to? I don't know, but if you're just looking at consumer sentiment, you'd say, man, it's in the toilet, you know, they're not going to be buying anything. And then you get record retail sales last month.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's an interesting dichotomy. The numbers on the economy, the Biden approval rating, all of those would indicate that we are in a detrimentally bad economy. When you look at the facts, the actual numbers behind, you know, what we're reporting, the economy is doing quite well.
The economy is, but families are not.
Right.
And I think that's it again, this is the kind of stuff that we haven't had to deal with in a while. There's a writer who I read a ton of stuff by and I quote on a fairly decent basis by the name of Ben Hunt. And he gives a great example. For anyone listening, do you know about... this is going to seem just nuts at first. Do you know anything about bees, Mike?
Bzzz. Like bzzz. The buzz bees.
Yeah, buzz bees.
A little bit.
Bees. They fly around. They pollinate. They sting you if you get too close.
I'm allergic to them.
Bees. Do you know what happens on June 22nd and 23rd every single year?
I do not.
Bees' behavior changes, okay, and they start to forage for the winter and start socking food away instead of simply trying to grow their colony and do the other behaviors that they do for the first half of the year.
I think I see where you're going.
The reason why they do this is because every year on June 22nd, bees have, again, they're attuned to this stuff, and so the days start getting a little bit shorter and the angle of the sun gets a little lower. Mm. Bees know if sun starts going down a little bit earlier, I need to start saving up for the winter. In investing, okay, we have these things that we look at as well. Okay, consumer sentiment starts going in the toilet. Great, that means unload your retail stocks. Hey, we start seeing, you know, higher inflation prints. Great, it means interest rates are going to go up. These things don't necessarily hold up in every environment. It changes. And so for a generation or two generations of investors that have not had to deal with inflation as investors, the things that they have believed to be true and that have been true for the last 40 years aren't necessarily true in an inflationary environment, and you have to adapt because the signals that you relied on previously don't necessarily mean the same things when you have high inflation.
Yeah. And so I do want to take this a step further, though, and you know, call out where this is truly important, because for long-term buy and hold investors, I don't really think that anything that we're seeing right now changes, right? I mean, yeah, maybe you take a look at your holdings and say, okay, are any of my companies going to be companies that cannot, you know, raise prices in an inflationary environment? I think that's a good exercise for every investor. But unless you are making the type of short-term predictions and trades that you are describing here, hey, consumer sentiment numbers look bad, so I need to change up my retail exposure, I don't know that I would change much of my strategy when it comes to equities particularly. Maybe bonds would get a good hard look at.
I think bonds would. And the other piece that I'm driving at is if you are someone who is invested in actively managed mutual funds, those fund managers who have had either good or bad track records in a non-inflationary environment.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You don't know if they're going to be able to perform the same way going forward. You never do, but this is a whole new variable that, again, we just have multiple generations of investors that they have not had to deal with. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to see who gets this right. You know, this is the kind of market where investment careers are made, where you have, you know, you have the big names. They always make their money during these big dislocations. You had, you know, Michael Burry, the Big Short, back in, you know, 2008, 2009. He nailed that when no one else did.
Yep.
Who's going to be the guy who nails inflation and how to invest in it? That's what I'm really interested in seeing. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got trivia, and then we're going to be talking about how Wall Street doesn't like when companies don't participate in inflation. What do we mean by that? We'll fill you in when we return.
This is your home for the latest business and financial news in New England and around the country. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
January is right around the corner, which means it's the perfect time for you to review your financial planning strategy. Hi, this is Chuck Zada from the Armstrong Advisory Group. The best time to put together a sound financial plan to take you through 2022 and beyond is right now, before the year ends. There are many steps you can take now, including examining your expenses to try to find opportunities to cut costs. You can also look at your insurance policies to see if you've truly got the best coverage, and you should write down your financial goals as they may have changed over the past year. This month, we've prepared a new guide called the Top 10 Year-End Tips, where we'll walk you through the process of putting together a financial plan that works for you next year and in the years to come. Get your free copy today by calling 800-393-4001. That's 800-393-4001. And you can also download the guide right now at armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Charles Zada, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
Join our text club by texting the word Barry to 63566. Send your first and last name and get involved today. You're listening to the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Trivia today is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. Enjoy fall on Nantucket with Southern Airways Express. Book your flight today for a day trip, maybe even a long weekend, with easy, easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford. Forget the ferry or Logan's hassles and high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket? It's on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com. Let's see what good old Matthew drew up for our trivia today. This is a good one. What famous actor, born this week in 1944, starred in the same TV show for 15 years and also founded his own production company called Jersey Films? Text us at 63566. What famous actor, born this week in 1944, has starred in the same TV show for 15 years and also founded his own production company called Jersey Films? I don't want anyone Googling this, so we'll actually today take the first right answer.
Ooh.
Just because I want to reward people who actually know this without having to look it up. Again, what famous actor born this week in 1944 has starred in the same TV show for 15 years and also founded his own production company called Jersey Films? Text us at 63566. First person with that right answer, you're taking home a $50 gas card, and you'll be entered to win the pair of round-trip tickets to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike.
Stocks are up. At least some stocks are up.
Don't speak too soon. But yes, we do have the S&P and NASDAQ breaking into positive territory. So it's nice to see the green on the board.
Dow still down. Salesforce Dow component is down about 1.6% this morning. And then Cisco looks like it's down a bit over 8%, dragging the Dow down. But S&P and NASDAQ, briefly at least, still slightly positive.
This is why, Mike. This is why.
Oh, come on.
You never count your chickens before they hatch.
Oh.
Because they'd be chicks then, not chickens anyways.
Got it.
Wall Street punishes retailers that eat costs and defer price hikes. So you've got companies like Walmart and Target that are saying, hey, we're trying to minimize price hikes to customers.
And it's very interesting. This is really, really fascinating to watch here because all we've been hearing about is all these shortages and we don't have enough supply, and Target and Walmart sitting back saying, nah, we figured it out. But at the same time saying, because we figured it out, we're not going to raise prices, even though everyone around us seems to be.
And so what you saw is that unlike other companies in the retail sector that were able to maintain their gross margins, both Walmart and Target reported slightly declining gross margins for their most recent quarter. And the CEO just of Target's U.S. operations, John Furner, going to read a quote from him. As far as gross margin, we start all these conversations with what's the right value for customers. We're happy with our price positioning. We see gaps that are wider now than they were before the pandemic began, and we intend to maintain that position. It doesn't sound, in another quote, this is from Christina Hennington, the chief growth officer at Target. Our teams are working diligently to get the right inventory to the right place at the right time. Doing so has driven some near-term gross margin pressure and appropriate long-term investment in the relationship with our guests. So here's the, and again, this is the million-dollar question when you're talking about, hey, how do investment managers and how do investors handle this? Are these companies actually correct in saying, yep, we're absorbing some higher costs right now, but eventually this will all sort itself out? Or is this a sign that inflation is eating into margins in the dangerous type of inflation where these companies start to see margins declining on a regular basis?
Well, and let's be clear here. This is a choice. This is a management decision to forego higher margins, right? I mean, I genuinely don't believe that if Walmart raised prices on most items by 3%, consumers would bat an eye. They chose not to because they want to maintain this dominant position they have as the cheapest goods provider out there. My feeling on this is simply that you can rely on your reputation, Walmart. You raising prices slightly is not going to change anybody's opinion that you are still the way to save prices, save cost on groceries and all sorts of household items. You are still going to maintain that position for right now. I would rely on that reputation, not on your scale in order and your ability to shrink margins.
Just hypothetically right now, and I'm just asking for your general opinion, not even hypothetically. What do you think, is there any more stressful position for the next month and a half than being a purchasing manager or logistics coordinator at Walmart?
Maybe the same role at Amazon, but no, probably not.
Amazon, Target, Walmart, yeah.
FedEx, UPS, it's a tough job.
Do you think you sleep at all?
No, likely not.
I mean, this just has to be just a grind right now. Yeah. You're getting beaten up by everyone.
But again, I mean, this is the same story that we just talked about with those investment managers. Is Walmart making the right call on inflation right now, or are they missing the boat? Because you know what? If you don't raise prices right now and supply chains ease up, then okay, no big deal. No harm done. If they get worse and suddenly you can't keep getting the same supply in that you have been, and you didn't raise prices when you did have supply right in time for the holiday season,
right,
then you might have further compressed margins over the next couple of years because you made the mistake now. And we don't know. I mean, you and I are guessing as to what's going to happen here. I hope that supply chains get better. Certainly no guarantee.
And right now, according to, again, the retail sales data that we get, yeah, companies are charging higher prices. but consumers are willing to pay them. They, they might grumble about it and say, oh, gee, I don't like paying this much for it, but they're still actually paying it.
Yep.
That's not a given at some point in the future. At some point, consumers might say, you know what? I've had enough of these price hikes. Whoever you are, shove it. I'm not dealing with this anymore.
And that's what I keep going back to, is that Walmart, I know that you're trying to maintain this reputation you have as, you know, we are the discount provider. We're the cheapest ones out there. We save Americans money. That's what they advertise on, is, you know, we save Americans money.
Yeah.
And they, you know, plenty of other problems, but that is what they do. They're not going to lose that reputation by raising prices slightly. Would anybody out there say, oh, Walmart raised prices, I'm going to go to that other discount retailer that I can go buy? No, there's nobody else. Walmart will still be the cheapest one out there for all of this stuff.
And the other piece, I've said this a lot with the labor market, that if you're a job seeker right now, you only get so many bites at the apple. This is the, this is your time to go out and get it while the getting's good. If you're a big retailer, it's the same thing. This is your chance to raise prices because customers are willing. They might hate paying more, but they're still going to.
Yeah.
And so, again, you only get so many bites at the apple. Maybe it's just because I came of age back in, you know, that 09 period afterwards, where it was just everything was so bad then.
Yeah.
Unemployment was so high. No one had money. That is the formative experience of my economic life. And so I look at this right now and I say, if you're a company and you're not getting it while the getting's good, it's not always like this. Sometimes it sucks a whole different bag of suck. Sometimes it's just not good at all.
So clearly you and I disagree with Walmart's decision, but quite frankly, they could be right. We'll see in a couple of years. It's going to take time to tell.
We'll have the report card in a year. We'll see what the stock does. We'll see what the stock does. Quick break here. When we come back, we have the trivia answer and Macy's earnings as well.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook, so make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Financial news, business news, entertainment. If you don't think they all go together, you need to listen to our brand new podcast called Dumb Questions for Smart Money, presented by the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
Last segment, we asked a trivia question. The question was, what famous actor born this week in 1944 has starred in the same TV show for 15 years and also founded his own production company called Jersey Films? The correct answer is Danny DeVito.
DeVito.
Danny!
One of my favorites.
Born in November of 1944 in Neptune Township, New Jersey, he has portrayed Frank Reynolds in the sitcom It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia since 2006. Hard to believe that show's been on 15 years now.
I can't believe it's still on.
I thought it would have been on three.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't strike you at first as a show that would be on for 15 years. And I'd be lying, I haven't watched it probably for 7 or 8 now.
I haven't watched it for several years. I can't think of a show that I like more that my wife hates more.
Okay.
There are very few. She just hates all the yelling.
I think if I had to pick someone to portray me in a movie, I would pick Danny DeVito.
Mm. Yeah. Sure, easy pick.
It depends how I wanted to portray myself.
Sure, yeah.
Either him, or if I'm more kind of going action movie, I'd go Jason Statham.
Got it.
But those are my two options.
Both bald. Well, Dottie from Saugus, congratulations. You are our winner today. Dottie's taking home a $50 gas card. You're also registered to win the pair of round-trip tickets to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express. We're giving those away this Friday, so please tune in. Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. You can enjoy fall on Nantucket with Southern Airways Express. Book your flight today for a day trip or a long weekend with easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford. You can forget the ferry or Logan's hassles and high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket is on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com.
So don't look now, Mike, but Macy's stock is up 19% today.
This hip new retailer, Macy's.
And 227% year to date.
227?
227.
Where did they start? Zero?
They started at $11.22 a share, and today they're at $36.87.
That seems like a mistake. So, did somebody write the numbers down wrong?
Nope. I confirm this. So I just want to point out, Mike, that over the course of 2022 or 2021, Macy's has outperformed Tesla 4 times. So for all the talk and all the hype that Elon Musk gets, I think that Macy's CEO, Jeff Gennette, should be, you know, getting a little bit more of a pat on the back.
So to be fair to this recovery, if someone had told you, like, hey, there's going to be this global pandemic that prevents anybody from shopping in stores, if there's one company that I would have said is going to go out of business because of that, it was probably Macy's.
Macy's.
Right? Like, I think we probably said that. It's probably on the prediction wall right now saying, holy good Lord, Macy's is not going to survive this. They somehow managed to cobble together the cash to survive it. And coming out the other side, not a healthy company, but significantly improved from where they were. I wonder if this is a story of kind of last man standing. Like, don't you get to that point in the retail sector at some point where, like, all of your competition is pretty much out of business at this point? So if you can survive...
Who's Macy's competition today?
It was Sears. I mean, Amazon is their biggest competition.
Yeah, Kohl's.
But Kohl's, Sears, well, no longer. JCPenney was... And you know, Sears and JCPenney don't really exist to a significant extent anymore.
They are expecting full-year adjusted earnings per share to hit $4.57 to $4.76, up from their prior guidance of $3.41 to $3.75. That's a 20% raise in their guidance, 20 to 30% raise in their guidance.
So, I mean, I look at this in a lot of different ways, but I just worry that this is a quick boom of, oh, my God, I haven't been to the shopping mall
you think it's
in
a
year and a half. And then we just, is there anything about the pandemic that changed fundamentally how people shop?
I got to tell you, I drove by.
Yes, everything about the pandemic changed how people shop.
Right. And none of it benefits Macy's.
Okay, I see what you're
long term.
Is there anything that changed in a positive way for Macy's?
Right. No, it's just that people are infatuated with going back to shopping malls because we haven't been in public spaces in a year, and Macy's is seeing a boost right now. I mean, again, it could be the other thing that I talked about, which is there's not a whole lot of big box retail shopping mall anchors left, and so Macy's looks good in comparison, but I don't think so. I mean, nothing that I've seen in the last 2 years would indicate to me that we're going to see a trend reversal for companies like Macy's.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. But I do think this is a fantastic example of how oftentimes the best performing stocks in a given year are the ones that everyone writes off for dead the year before.
Yeah.
And it's
the Dow theory, right?
It's not necessarily because Macy's is in great shakes. Again, I don't think that they have some great financial position and that they've necessarily turned a corner. But it's a combination of, A, expectations were so low that if you have any kind of beat, you've got upside there. And in a lot of these companies also, you have significant short interests that have to be unwound.
Yep.
And that, as we've seen this year in a number of companies.
Like who?
Well, there's this company, JameStop.
Sorry. Coffee mug.
How do we get
coffee
that?
Mug collision?
How do we get that set up as a sound effect going forward?
It's like one of those sound forks.
Yeah, that was the tuning fork.
Tuning fork. Yes.
Yeah,
sound fork.
Sound forks. Let's see, Mike. You have. We'll do that next,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about workers, and I just love the framing here. Workers are resisting being called back to the office. And I just picture an employer like grabbing a
holding on to their dog.
You're coming with me. So I guess apparently, though, employers have met such resistance that some of them are saying, you know what, we're going to
forget about
we're going to get rid of this return to the office plan, and we're going to keep more of a either hybrid or full remote setup for some of our employees.
Yeah, Kayak is one of those. They own also an OpenTable, which, you know, if you're not familiar with Kayak, then you're probably familiar with OpenTable. If you've heard of neither of them, then you're living under a rock. In October, they announced that you can just work from anywhere. We're done with this. They had tried bringing employees back a few days a week. Employees weren't happy, which I do get. Like, this is not, to me, a COVID thing anymore. Like, if you're going into the office right now, it's not a terribly enjoyable experience. Frequently, you're there alone, and you're doing a bunch of Zoom meetings with people that are remote. And so you find yourself questioning, what am I doing here? Either get everybody back or don't. But I'm now worried that this hybrid scenario may not be as successful as everybody's been painting it.
We've got a hybrid setup here. What are your thoughts on us?
My thoughts on us are that we are generally far more in person than we are hybrid. And so that's been successful. I think what's not going to be successful is when you have a 10-story office building with 30 people in it, then those employees are going to say, okay, I can't interact with my coworkers. All the rest of my group is remote. What am I actually doing here? Why am I here?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Not great for companies like Apple, where you know, they're trying to get people back to the work. They just spent $5 billion on their new headquarters, and nobody wants to be there. So they might find, you know, I still think you might find that we have a lot of commercial real estate that doesn't have tenants in the next few years.
And we have plenty of need for housing. Yep. So all I'm saying,
get that conversion kit out.
Get that office to apartment conversion kit out, all you building owners. And I think there's some opportunity for you there.
Folks, one of the toughest conversations you can have with your family is about legacy planning. The plan for your future is incredibly important, but if not done properly, this can cause numerous problems. Instinctively, you probably want to leave your assets to your children. That may not always be the best course of action, especially if the kids have financial difficulties or in the midst of a divorce. It could be really problematic. The best way to make sure that they are taken care of and avoid major tax consequences in the process is by calling Cushing & Dolan, the experts in elder law and estate planning. They've got a brand new guide out for the month of November called The Do's and Don'ts of Gifting Assets, and you can call 866-848-5699 to get their free guide today. In it, you'll learn about information related to the gifting process, what tax issues may arise from a significant gift like a home or a vacation property, and then what happens to the asset if the child has creditor issues. Again, you can call 866-848-5699, or you can download the guide right now from their website, legalexchangeshow.com.
Mike, do you have a specific coffee bean that you like?
Whatever Pete's puts into their bags of coffee. I don't honestly know what it is.
Because apparently we've got coffee prices surging at the moment. And specifically, Arabica beans are now at the highest price that they have been at in the last decade.
Crap.
So here's...
This is bad for me, Chuck. I know that you don't care, but this is bad for me.
Well,
I don't need this type of inflation. So I can deal with the gas. I can deal with the food. When you start jacking up my coffee prices, I start to get angry.
Well, and there's a very specific issue that you run into with coffee in that...
It's got a bunch of addicts as customers.
Yes. And also, the climate in the United States is not really hospitable for producing large amounts of coffee across much of it. So it's something that to get the volumes that we need, you kind of have to import it. And also, it's just something that would be even more expensive if you were using domestic labor, quite honestly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that it's grown in places like India, Brazil.
Colombia. Yeah. So I don't know if this is something that's going to go away anytime soon, but I'm just letting you know that the...
Coffee is the new 2x4s.
That the prices for high-end beans, and this is for the March futures contract, went up to $2.34 a pound in New York, the highest settlement for the most active contract since January 2012, and nearly double from a year ago. These are the kinds of beans that are typically used by Starbucks and Pete's Coffee and Tea. So it's... I don't know. I think that
not good.
I think you might be seeing a little bit of a price when you fill up your cup, not just when you fill up your tank. You know,
I have to go swing over to Folgers.
Oh God!
Best part of waking up, baby.
You haven't seen any like price hikes at the Dunkin' and Starbucks of the world because those companies like buy coffee well in advance and pretty much lock it in at whatever that price was.
I'm imagining there's a lot of hedging going on there.
Yeah, exactly. So
fair bit of hedging in the next few months. I mean, when you buy a cup of coffee from Starbucks, you're not really worried about the price of beans. That's not what's going towards that $7 cup of coffee. It's all the whipped cream and the caramel.
Well, I mean, that's a fancy thing.
Yeah.
Regular standard is like just over $3.
Yeah.
I thought you were a Starbucks guy, Tuck.
I am, yeah. I go there probably once a week.
Yeah.
Something like that.
What's your backup plan if coffee inflation hits? Well,
I found a
Folgers.
I either do something. I mostly drink coffee here because I'm here so early. Or at home, I just buy beans from a local coffee shop.
No, he doesn't. He walks out of the office with the beans from here.
There's no beans here. It's all grinds.
There is a company that the first company that I worked at. Just a quick coffee store here that I found awesome. Not for me, but for just.
Was someone fired for stealing coffee beans?
No, but they had coffee in all the offices, like any office does, and they would differentiate what type of coffee you got based on, on the surface, based on whether you were an important division or not. And so, like, my division had the,
espresso.
No, my division was not the important division. Folgers. So we had
Chock full of nuts.
I'm not going to name the brand.
The brand. It's fine.
New England coffee. New England something or another. That's the brand of the coffee.
That's like a standard basic coffee.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. And then the important divisions all had Starbucks.
Beans or grinds?
Ground beans.
I mean.
Pretty big differentiation. Pretty big.
I would have thought it would have been like an espresso machine or something.
Well, they had that.
That's for a whole different division.
Yeah. No, they had that. They had free soda, free everything. And
barista
then
division.
For the paupers like me, we had New England's coffee brewed in the giant
instant
pot.
Instant coffee.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here on that note, and when we come back, we got a little bit of Stack Roulette coming up right after this.
Business and financial news affecting the markets and your wallet. We've got it all straight from Wall Street, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. One of the toughest conversations you can have with your family is about legacy planning. The plan for your future is incredibly important, but if not done properly, can cause numerous problems. Instinctively, you probably want to leave your assets to your children. But that may not always be the best course of action, especially if the kids have financial difficulties or are in the midst of a divorce. The best way to make sure they're taken care of and avoiding major tax consequences is by calling Cushing & Dolan, the experts in elder law and estate planning. They've got a brand new guide out for November called The Do's and Don'ts of Gifting Assets. Call 866-848-5699 and get this free guide today. In it, you'll learn about information related to the gifting process, what tax issues may arise from a significant gift like a home or a vacation property, and what happens to the asset if a child has creditor issues. Call 866-848-5699. That's 866-848-5699. Or download the guide right now from their website, LegalExchangeShow.com. That's LegalExchangeShow.com. If you missed any part of today's show, not to worry. Go to financialexchangeshow.com and click listen. Then click on demand and catch up on every segment. You'll also find podcasts of all of our full shows. Just punch up that listen button at financialexchangeshow.com.
This segment of the Financial Exchange is brought to you in part by Caliber Home Loans Incorporated. You can call Rick Betancourt, the VA guy, and take advantage of Caliber's user-friendly technology to provide you with the easiest personalized mortgage experience from application to completion. Let Rick and Caliber Home Loans help secure your dream home. Call 978-979-0883 or visit them online at caliberhomeloans.com.
Rick Betancourt, MLS number 7810, state license, Massachusetts and Connecticut. Caliber Home Loans Incorporated, NMLS number 15622. www.mlsconsumeraccess.org, equal housing opportunity. Branch license number 1916762. 10 Elm Street, Danvers, Mass. 01923. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Other restrictions and limitations apply. Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC15622.
I'm going to kick things off and probably take up the entire segment for Stack Roulette because I just have the best story that's been fascinating me for the last week or so.
Okay.
Are either of you familiar with what are known as DAOs?
Dead or Alive.
DAO?
Decentralized Autonomous Organizations?
No.
It's a cryptocurrency-based organization that basically says that we're going to act together in order to do one thing or another.
Okay.
There's a group that's called Constitution DAO. And the reason why it's called Constitution
DAO
is because there is one of 13 remaining original copies of the U.S. Constitution is up for sale tonight in New York City by Sotheby's.
Oh.
And so Constitution DAO is effectively soliciting funds so that someone who's part of this DAO can own a portion of this version of the U.S. Constitution. It raises a great question, which if you pay for more, let's say that you put a bigger chunk into this DAO.
Do you own a large
Can you own Article 1 as an example? Yeah. Can you choose your amendments or something like that you want to own? I don't know, but it's estimated that the Constitution is going to go for somewhere between $15 and $20 million.
That's not enough.
Is this a Constitution NFT or?
No, it's this is the
where
real,
would it be stored if it's decentralized?
So this is one of the things that is tough to figure out. But the other thing,
rotate it around like the Stanley Cup.
As of right now, Constitution DAO has raised over $20 million. So there's actually a legitimate chance that they might win this bidding. But I'm not sure how they can actually get the proceeds from the crypto space into actual dollars in order to pay for it.
Oh, don't worry about it. They got those ATMs all over the place. You can figure it out.
So it's really interesting in terms of just kind of where things are going now because...
So they're crowdsourcing crypto to buy the Constitution. And what is the likely... What sort of crypto is it going into?
I have no clue. But I can tell you... that I have confirmed that this is the plot of National Treasure 3.
Good, good.
And so I would imagine that Nicolas Cage is somehow involved in this in some way, shape, or form.
No doubt. He's right at the...
But isn't this just fascinating?
Yeah,
it's just a group of complete strangers pooling their money together to buy a copy of the U.S. Constitution.
If I was being honest, I was not really aware that versions of the U.S. Constitution were privately owned at this stage. I kind of hoped and thought that they would all be in museums. That kind of disappoints me. I don't want the Constitution to be privately owned. I mean, I don't fundamentally have a problem with it being privately owned, but I would really love it to be every copy to be in a public library or public museum that I could go check the thing out and then bash it open so I can read the back of it for the secret map.
There are plenty of copies that are in public places.
Yeah, and I watch National Treasure, too. Bring
a hair dryer. Go over it. It needs heat.
You can totally think of how this ends just so badly. You know, it's just, again, you could see someone who, you know, is part of this who just literally ends up burning the thing or something like that. Leaves it on their stove
again,
by mistake.
Reasons that I'm concerned about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of them. Like when people drop the Stanley Cup and like dent the thing. But way, 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 way worse.
Yeah, a little difference between the Stanley Cup and the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, like, that's why I said way five times.
Little difference between the Stanley Cup and the Constitution.
Yeah.
One's paper different. And one's metal.
True.
Other than that, they're basically the same.
Both have words on them.
Not quite. As we wrap up today's show, the Dow's off 100 points. The S&P is up 10. NASDAQ up 65 now, so 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We're back tomorrow to finish off the week on the Financial Exchange.